shouldn't be here.
It is 6 o'clock on Wednesday, March 11th, and this is a regularly scheduled Planning Commission meeting. We're a little skinny tonight. Could I have an invitation or a volunteer to give us an invocation and lead us in the pledge? Will you say something today? We are three.
Three at the, how many do we have on the
five?
Five.
Oh, is it just five?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we had six.
Volunteer to give us an invocation and lead us in the pledge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the opportunity we have to gather together tonight. To be able to attend this Planning Commission meeting, we ask thee, Father, as we discuss the items that are on the agenda tonight, and as we hear from the public comment, that we might be able to be open-minded and that we might be able to be understanding of the different situations that are facing us in the city. We ask thee, Father, to help us to be more mindful of those that are around us, and we also ask thee to bless us with the moisture that our valley needs. We love thee and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Those of you attending with us, if you haven't signed in, please make sure you do that before you leave. Item number B is approval of tonight's agenda.
I move that we approve tonight's agenda.
I'll second it.
Motion by Sherm, second by Tyson. All in favor?
Aye.
Item number C, reports. John, City Council.
Last week we had a continuing discussion of a request to vacate a right-of-way that the city owns over by 100 East that still remains unresolved. Some discussion of the altered water efficiency standards. The three ordinances, the tourist commercial, general commercial, retail commercial, were all passed. The consideration of the item allowing DADUs to be used for short-term rentals passed by a 3-2 majority, and there was some general discussion about cameras in the city.
Thank you. Derek?
I'd like to request that we don't have our next meeting because we didn't have time to get the whereases put together so we could get it advertised. Depending on what happens tonight for the three zones that you're looking at, so we put it on the first meeting in April, and then we didn't want to introduce anything more to you until we get these out of the road, and so we would recommend that we not hold that second meeting, and then just. We started bringing irrigation back in Monday. We've had quite a few breaks, but we're staying on top of it at this point. Right now, it's still actively in, but no guarantees until Monday. So, if you want to try to water, go for it. That's all I know.
Thank you. Item number D is a public hearing. An ordinance amending Title 10, Chapter 6B, involving two-family dwelling from the list of permitted uses in the R110 zone. So this would allow, well, the way the ordinance is currently written, allows pieces of property with 16,000 square feet in a R110 zone to put a duplex there. This would remove that that permission. Before public hearings, I have a statement that I always read. Public hearings are designed for the public to express opinions or desires or make statements otherwise relevant to the issue being discussed. They're not an opportunity for debate or discussion. At the discretion of the city staff or planning commission, requests raised during the public hearing portion of the meeting may be addressed after the public hearing closes and the planning commission discusses the issue at hand, or may be addressed by city staff at a later date. But during the public hearing, no interactive discussion will take place. To give everyone an opportunity to speak, we'll limit each speaker to 3 minutes. You are encouraged to be concise and brief. And Derek, could you time for us? And we'll open the public hearing. Please step to the microphone and state your name for the record.
I think everybody's probably heard all what we agree, what we want to happen, so we're just here to hear what the outcome of what you guys decided behind closed doors, I guess.
You're welcome to not speak, but we'd love to hear your opinion if you'd like to.
I think the ones that here already stated their opinion.
Yeah. I would appreciate it because I don't think we've heard any of those comments, but Patty, if you had something.
So, I apologize if I missed this in previous planning commission meetings, the discussion on it. I was a little surprised. So, 16,000 square foot property allowing two units makes the home more affordable, potentially more affordable. We just passed detached ADUs, which of course are smaller than the primary size, 10,000 square feet. So it doesn't seem like this is necessary. I think having the duplex, there are so many really nice ones out there. Hurricane has some beautiful, just small individual properties that look great. So I see it as more an affordability thing, and it would still keep the spaciousness in the neighborhood. I don't think having two families on 60,000 square foot would impact the neighborhood as far as traffic, not any more than a detached ADU. So I would be in favor of keeping it. And hopefully I read through the ordinance correctly.
I just wanted to mention, if I can, during public hearing, I don't remember really discussing this too much. What was our reasoning in removing the duplexes from it?
Let's discuss that perhaps
later
after the public hearing.
Okay, we can do that.
Hi, I'm Lori Smith. Mine's the same question, kind of what brought this to the agenda, how did it amended or changed, what is it currently, what's in question, really, obviously there's some kind of a issue or why would you want to change from what it currently is. Is that something that the public will hear or we just get to kind of come and express? If we're just here to come and express our views on it, what is the ordinance currently and what is it proposed to being changed to? Just removing duplexes?
Yeah. After we close the public hearing, we'll maybe provide some explanation.
And that's just next on the agenda?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Didn't you want to stand up and say something about part of the matter or policy?
No.
Seeing no further comment, we'll close the public hearing portion. And the next portion, the business portion, is discussion and possible action to recommend approval of an ordinance amending Title 10, Chapter 6B, removing two-family dwellings from the list of permitted uses. I would recommend that we request a continuance of that. You're right, Patty, this hasn't been discussed. It came to us by request of City Council, and we haven't had a chance. I didn't see it till Monday. I've been out of town. They haven't had a chance to consider it. So it didn't come from the public, but it did come as a request from the City Council. So our options on item number one would be to discuss and recommend, or the other option would be to move for a continuance to give us a chance to discuss before we recommend. I'd entertain a motion.
I have a question before that motion.
Please.
When it comes to a continuation, just looking through this, I feel like this fits a lot better in with our discussion for the downtown area and what we're trying to do with the city itself for like a long-term plan. Do we have to put an actual date on the continuation, or can we table this discussion until we've had a work meeting with City Council?
I would suggest that we continue it for the next meeting, which is going to be April.
Whatever the second week
is. Whatever that date is, April 8th. That gives us almost a month to kind of, if we need to have any kind of a work meeting or meet with the City Council, we can do that. And then on April 8th, we can come back to this body. We can have a more detailed discussion. By that time, we'll have our other two members here. We can have that detailed discussion about why this may or may not be a good thing for the city, or what options we have. And then at that point, we can come up with our recommendation for the City Council.
But I still think it would be good to get a meeting between working between you guys and City Council prior to that, because this is as important as we're figuring out what we want down our commercial property. So we can talk to the mayor tomorrow night, preferably not a date, and maybe that could be our off meet, planning commission meeting or something that we could.
Or maybe a quick one, a half hour one before City Council meeting.
I think it's going to be longer than that, because Brad, we got a lot to talk about. I mean, you know, you got your mixed use zone, how you're going to apply it, where you want to apply it, kind of more so what you want to do down the rest of State Street. And then this is vital that this be figured out and understanding why the need to have it removed. And so I think if we set the table up in the back and didn't have any other meetings, just have the time to spend, to have Brad take us through the process. Oh, you won't be here that week, though. That's awful.
Right. We just have to be before the first, that will be before the
first. Yeah. So, but I think it'd be good to have this discussion at the same time as that, because we really can't move forward with a lot of this until we understand where we're going to go.
John?
Just a quick comment. Like everybody else here, I'm surprised. There was no discussion, to my knowledge, at the City Council, so I don't know how the City Council recommended this.
Well, maybe it wasn't the whole City Council.
Oh, possibly not. But I was unaware of it just as everybody else was. So. For arguments working.
Patty.
I would just like to make the comment. This is something that I was very careful of when I was on the City Council, and I think it speaks to transparency, is that when recommendations are made to the Planning Commission to review something, to be told that it's the City Council sent it forward, that John's correct, that's not accurate. The City Council would have to discuss it in a meeting, make a public decision with a vote to send it to the Planning Commission if it said the City Council. If it's a couple of members of the City Council who maybe speak with staff or speak with the mayor, or it's just the mayor, I think that is transparency to not only for the planning commission, but for the public, because to say the city council, that's six members with legislative control over the city, and it just, it doesn't matter what the issue is, it's just, I think that's something important, just like John has started to do, and I would try to do when the planning commission passed something or didn't, try to say what the vote was, so that the city council knows that it was a split vote or a full vote. I think going both directions, that's really important. So that's just a personal comment.
Thank you.
Well, I think for all those reasons, it's a good idea for us to get together with the city council in a work meeting setting, go over the ordinance, discuss the reasons for it. At that point, a majority of the council may say, no, we don't want this. And then we don't move forward with it. At least the planning commission then has some indication of which way maybe we really want to go. But I think it's important that we get together, we need to have that this larger discussion, get all those issues out on the table, and then we can decide which way to go from there. I don't know, is it possible, would it be possible, since we're not having our city, our planning commission meeting on the 25th?
Well, I think that's when Brad's going to be gone on that day.
Oh, okay.
So I think he's kind of the one that we're leaning on to push that. So, not to say that it has to be particular on our Wednesday or what to do. So we'll get some dates together and get it out, but we want to have that public or that meeting prior to any discussion continuing here, even if we got to put that out for multiple meetings.
I was going to say we could recommend it being pushed to the April 8th meeting, and then if we still haven't made a decision or have the correct discussion, we could recommend it for an extension to another meeting. Okay. There's only a few of us. You want me to make a recommendation or a motion?
I think so. I just don't know enough about it. I looked at the information that was just on here when I was looking at the thing, and I.
Okay, I would move that we extend or table this discussion for the April 8th meeting so that we can get more information through the meetings.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Item number two is discussion and possible action to set a public hearing for April 8th to establish a new medium density residential -8 zone. Brad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You guys have seen these before. These three are going to come. The first one is the MDR 8. This will be a brand new zone for the city. It's not planning to go on any property in the city that I'm aware of at this time. It would be under code and could be used by a developer at some time in the future. It would allow for detached single-family residences, twin homes, triplex system, fourplex units, cluster and courtyard housing. Now, with the new subdivision map ordinance that was passed by the legislature a couple years ago, there are some restrictions as to the type of applications that you're allowed to look at. For example, if it's a single family home development or a two family home development, you're not going to be able to get a precise plan of architectural drawings, those type of things, unless there are other land use approvals proposed. And that's in this ordinance here too, and it kind of talks about that. There's setbacks in here, 25 feet for the front, side would be 5, the rear would be 10, the front lot would be 15. And then it gets into some development standards, requiring a common recreation area, development agreement depending upon if it's triplex or fourplex, fencing requirement, two-car garage, homeowners association, lot coverage requirement would be 75%, meaning you could not cover a lot more than 75%. And then an active open space requirement. And that's kind of it for this one. It's very straightforward. If you have any questions, if you don't, let's go to the next one.
Informationally, that works out to 5,445 square feet per building per resident. Some of those duplexes and maybe two stories, but that's not dramatically smaller than the R16 that we've talked about creating.
Now, we're going to get this in a minute on the top bench, but some of this may be applicable to up in that area too, depending on what type of developer is involved up there. So we're just kind of getting things in order in case that and when that happens.
Okay.
So the next one is high density residential, which is HDR 14. That would allow for up to 4 stories in height and up to 14 dwelling units per acre. Again, apartments, condos, anything but a townhome, you could go through the application requirements that would allow you to do precise plan architectural drawings and all those things, unless, of course, there's some other approval that's required. The height regulation would be you could exceed more than 40 feet. The setbacks are essentially the same. Front would be 25, or I'm sorry, they're not the same as the last one. The front would be 25, side would be 20, rear 20, and corner lot 25. And what I added in here too was what we went through last time with the commercial zones, and that there would be a graduated setback that's adjacent to existing single family residential, so you don't have this high area or high building coming up right next to the home. So that would be the actual height would be set back 50 feet, meaning that the 40 feet would not be able to be achieved until 50 feet setback. So and I think that's appropriate for this here also. There's also modifying regulations, a bike rack will be required, common rec area, development agreement will be required, lot coverage would not exceed 75%, fencing requirements, block wall around the property, two-car garage, homeowners association. Also in this one is a loading area, which I think are important for apartment-type complexes, and that would require one loading area for every 15 dwelling units for people that are moving in and out. And then open space requirement of 200 square feet per dwelling unit, 100 of that would have to be private open space. Storage areas would be required, trash enclosures, again, parking. When we went through the live work with the balconies, I also added that back into this code too that requires the balconies to be enclosed with a solid block wall if they're facing exterior property lines. And then inside of outdoor storage would be prevented.
So this requires 100 square feet shall be a private patio. Will that even be the case if they're on the fourth floor of a four-story? And how would that, what would that look like? Would it be like a tennis court area that belongs to them?
No, it would be like an area that you could just have a patio out there, 10 by 10 area where you could sit on the fourth floor. And then another 100 feet would be in a congregated area.
So that would be attached to their fourth floor?
Yes.
Okay.
That would be for their own private open space.
I was confused.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is the new zone. Also, it's the R16 zone, and that just allows for one family dwellings on 6,000 square foot lots. You could not erect a building any higher than 35 feet, and an accessory building could not be more than 20 feet in height. Front setback would be 25, the side would be 8 feet, the rear would be 10. Of course, a garage would be required, a two-car garage. The lot coverage should not exceed 70%. And then I've also put in here that any developer that does this needs to actually install the front yard prior to certificate of occupancy, which I think is good for single-family homes. And then a homeowner association may be required depending upon how this development plays out.
If I can,
please.
There is another option that you can consider too on the setbacks, and we talked about it, making the garage still maintain the 25 foot setback, but letting the porch maybe move to a 20. Minimizing the front yard, enlarging the backyard, and making the side setbacks 5, the rear 10, and the other 25. Because then you're hitting fire code at the 5 foot setback just because the lots are small.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions on this?
I have none.
Then we'll go ahead and start this project.
Tell me if we're going to work out there.
So, with your permission, let's consider those three together for the possibility of setting a public hearing, unless there's further discussion about what they are.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we set a public hearing on April 8th, 2026 for the NDR 8 zone, the HDR 14, and the R16 zone.
I'll second that.
Motion by Kaisen, second by Sherm. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Discussion regarding a preliminary concept design.
That's not me.
That's not you.
Oh, I'm the bitch.
So that one simply is Casey, right?
Oh.
Brought before you for. So in talking with some of the landowners around there, this concept does not seem to be something that would be greatly opposed. And if you look at it, this is what the corridor study that we participated in with UDOT actually talked about, having your commercial, your higher density, and then opening up to larger lots that can move out, whereas the high density would basically pay for the road infrastructure and everything. His request right here we've got is an R36. The layout doesn't work for the R36, so it is all conceptual and theory, and something that really we're just looking for, and doesn't have to, we could take it into more consideration and discuss it more later, because we want to make sure we get this right, and this may be part of the work meeting that we have, which is probably what we should do, is have that, and then we can get a better understanding from both Planning Commission and City Council if this would be something they would want to entertain doing. But I just brought it back just for you to kind of look at it again and understand that, you know, this is, you know, we paid a lot of money with the state to provide that corridor study, and this is what, you know, they recommended. So it's, you know, a study that you know, proves that if we want to get that walkable downtown, that's kind of how we need to start doing it. And whether it's applicable in that area or somewhere else in town, you know, at some point, if we're trying to create apparently of duplexes, we need to try to find ways of getting other multifamily dwellings so that it can be at least some chance of affordability or attainability at this point. So I would just suggest continue to look it over, because I don't know that I handed out a map. Did I hand out a map last night? The last packet?
You gave it in here too. Yes.
Okay. So just look at it as a talking point at our work meeting. So we'll hit this R10 and then the map to downtown.
Thank you. Item number 6, discussion and presentation regarding the topside property. You're getting your steps in tonight.
All right, what I want to do is give you guys a heads up as to what's going to come your way. I'm pretty so to speak. These two developments that I'm talking about are probably the two largest single developments in the history of the work. So they're going to be very important, very impactful. There's something I think we need to stay in touch with and get a start on as soon as we possibly can. I'm going to talk about zoning a little bit, the simple property. The other property I'm calling the bank property, but it's got a new name to it now. What the development process is going to look like, what studies are probably going to be necessary, what a potential financial strategy may be, and then also zoning. So the slide you have before you there is actually the the other one.
This one?
No, a fire. What you were before. There we go, yeah. The civil property consists of approximately 330 acres, and that's only the road design that you may be aware. The bank-owned property is approximately 566 acres, for a total of 900 acres. And so it's a big development. It's a big development, California standards, any state you go to. This is going to be a large, big development. And it's going to really impact the town in what could be a positive way. There was an existing development out here before. It was called Mosaic, and that was looked at in 2005, but it's essentially defunct at this point, and that just consisted of the bank-owned property of 566 acres. Next slide there. Okay, the zoning out there right now is PCD, Plan Community Development. That allows for mixed-use, large-scale development, and it fits well for this piece of property. I don't think this type of zoning has ever been used in the city before, has it? There not. So this would be something new to be looked at. And other than the Mosaic development, which is on this exact same property, again, it wasn't used before. So next slide. The Sitla property, Sitla right now is a negotiation with the developer at this present time. It's my understanding this is a big name developer, which I think is very good for the city, because in my experience, you're better off having a developer that's got a few dollars that can actually do some stuff as opposed to one that's struggling to get by. So if this comes to fruition, I think this developer would be very good for the city. When this happens, the developer will need to enter a development agreement with the city, and the property will be developed in the PCD zone, which I'll get to a little bit more of this as we go forward. The Bangor property, that's approximately 566 acres. There was a development agreement already approved between the bank and the city. I'm going to go through some of the concept as part of that development agreement. The new name of this property is going to be Liberty Mesa. The chosen developer will be entitled to 1,600 dwelling units, which are equivalency dwelling units. And those can consist of residential, commercial, short-term rental units, a park, open spaces, probably a school site, but probably some governmental facilities up there, such as police and fire, church sites, trails, and then infrastructure facilities. The commercial is going to consist of a minimum of 15% of the total private acreage. That will eliminate some of the residential units. So that will be figured out as time goes on, how much actual commercial is going to be. It'll at least be a minimum of 50%. Developments can be phased, and these planning areas can be sold off to other developers. This is normal in this type of process. Most developers do not do all development of the acreage that they acquire. A lot of them sell them off to a residential developer, which is maybe, in this case, sell off to commercial developer to actually develop the property. Density transfers will be allowed between different planning areas. There's nothing abnormal about that either. That's part of the normal planning process. The developer will be required to design, install, and construct all project improvements. That is absolutely normal. Cities don't do that type of stuff anymore. They don't have the ability to do that. After all this, the developer will have a vested right in order to develop the property as per the approved plan. Again, that is normal. And the development phase, as we talked about. Because there are some development restrictions in place as a result of this development agreement, the planning commission will not have total discretion as to how this thing is going to develop. However, you do have the ability to influence how it's going to develop and what's going to go on and how it's going to look. Next slide. So the development process will follow requirements dictated in the PCD zone, and it will also follow general plan goals and objectives. There's going to be a document that's developed through this that will outline zoning, development requirements, development standards, circulation, community design concepts, municipal services, phasing, administration, grading, defining hillsides and open space, which will be quite a bit of that up there. And then, in essence, you're going to have a specific plan of development for both of these properties. They'll probably be two separate ones. But having said that, these have to be integrated together. You have two different developments that don't talk to each other, don't integrate with each other. My guess is that the developers will also want to do a master conveyance map, and what that is essentially is that each planning area as defined will be its own separate lot. There will be infrastructure that will be shown. It will be your master plan infrastructure consisting of arterial roads, your collector streets, those type of things. When that map records those streets, and that infrastructure will be dedicated to the city at that time. It will allow the developer to then take these other lots and spin them off to other developers so they can improve the project as it continues on. And my guess is there's also going to be a follow-up development agreement necessary or a spell a lot of this stuff out. As far as studies and plans, there's definitely going to be a traffic study to analyze traffic impacts, signalization, those type of things. UDOT's going to have their say into what goes on out there. There'll be a biological assessment, there'll be an archaeological assessment, there'll be a slope analysis, there'll be a drainage study, there'll be a geotechnical, geological study. And then there's going to be a master infrastructure plan that kind of spells out how much it's going to cost and what infrastructure is going to be required in order to serve this entire development. Those are called community facilities plans. And then there's going to be a public facility plan, which is going to be a plan for schools, fire stations, parks, those types of things. Next slide. Now, how does all this stuff get paid for? The city has adopted an ordinance to allow for a PID or a public infrastructure district. In essence, it's an assessment district. Most states, like California, where I did most of my work, that's the only way major development gets approved and funded is through an assessment district. And the way these essentially work is that the developer will come in and figure out exactly how much the infrastructure is going to cost in order to develop this. And that would include water, sewer, all your street improvements, whatever it takes in order to build this development. That number is then figured out in what a bond would be in that amount. And then that bond is then attached to the subject property. Now, when the commercial comes in and the single family homes come in, that assessment is then divided amongst all those different players that are out there. So if you buy a house out in a place like this that has a PID, you may end up having to pay as part of your payment this bond payment. And that can be anywhere from a 15-year bond to a 30-year bond, depending. After 30 years, that bond gets extinguished. But what that does, it allows the developer to go in and build out all the master plan improvements immediately instead of having like this phase development. Most developers like to go down this road because it makes more sense for them. And in a lot of ways, it makes more sense for the city, too, because you get all your improvements right up front. Now, there's probably some risk for that if there's some failure. But generally speaking, like in California, this is done everywhere in California for major developments. It's not clear at this time whether any of these developers want to do this PID process. My guess is they probably will. And the only other option is for a developer to pay for those improvements themselves, probably through some type of phasing program.
But that's in place, so if they choose to do it, they get to, correct?
The city has adopted an ordinance, so they're allowed to go down that process. Now, you'll have to have an assessment engineer to kind of figure out what it's going to cost, attorneys get involved in bonds and those type of things, and then maybe someone on the staff is going to have to kind of follow this whole thing financially. But all that can come later on. But this is kind of the way major development is done anymore.
There's one like that in Hurricane there at towards San Paulo and San Paulo Road.
Yeah.
Using that same approach.
Yeah. My guess, that's probably what you're going to be looking at. Now, in regard to a timeline of this, other than approval for the DA for the Laverne Mesa project, nothing has been done at this time. So that's still out there. It could take a minimum of 12 months to 3 years to get fully invested. And that would be to include like the financing package and everything that you need in order to get the development moving. The planning commission who will be part of this process. But I think we all have to realize that when developers have got a lot of money at stake, things have got to move fairly quickly. So when we get to that point, the developers are, we'll come back and kind of give you a better timeline as to how this thing's all going to work out and how it's all going to play. And we'll just need to work aggressively when that time comes and get this thing to the point where it's going to be. But having said all that, this is really exciting for the city. This is a big, big deal for the city.
Thank you. Item number seven. Might I say, any of you who have come for the public hearing and don't choose to stay, we're not offended if you leave. But you're welcome to be here. We're happy to have you here. Item number seven is discussion regarding the general plan. Our next installation.
All right. Before I begin the discussion, this afternoon I threw these maps together and you just have to go along right with what Bradley was talking about. I'm just going to hand these out and they're just for your information. The first map, just going to go over these briefly, is we had a discussion about annexation, and I just thought it might be helpful for you to see that there's actually very limited places that could be annexed, as we talked about. And if you look south of the gorge, that's a big obstruction get up through, and there's mostly public land, a little bit of private land in there. And the same as you go west. You have Water Conservancy land right on the edge, and then a little bit of private land that is kind of within the peninsula of work, and so already in Tuckerville. So just because we had that discussion on coming back, discussion about annexation. The next two maps are just videos of what Bradley talked to about. There's an aerial showing that. Topography, and then there's another one showing the ownership with acres on each parcel. So those are just for your information. And we will be talking on a very high level about the top site as part of the general plan. So want you to have that in advance. Okay. Starting, what I sent to you was there was some question about what the top site was. So the very first thing is there's a little graphic at the top of that page showing basically a quasi-3D map of where the top site is. Is that a helpful thing to have in the plan?
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And then, page six, I made little bit of changes there. I think we talked mostly about those. Was there anything that you saw in there that you want to go over again? I just had this picture at a point where I thought it was okay. We can jump ahead then to, if you want to skip over to go to page 10. And the others, they're if you look through those pages, you'll see that there are some of the changes we talked about made. But I don't want to belabor that tonight. So, the land use page. This is where we talk about the actual land use designations and that sort of thing. Is there anything on page 10 that you see that stood out to you that you'd like to address? All looks good? Okay, page 11. This, you can see I added in the densities on the two residential categories. Okay, anything in there on page 11?
Anticipated changes at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
It talks about our working about the last sentence to maintain the rural character of Laverca.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. I'm not sure it's going to work for us. I'm not sure we should have it in our general plan, because even though I wish it were the way it was when I was a kid here, it isn't, and it is. It's going to continue to become less rural.
Okay.
So I'm personally all for keeping that, but I'm not sure it's what should be in our general plan.
Does it need? Do you want to modify it with a some rural character? Or some rural
I don't know. We're not going to get to remain rural.
Correct. Parts of your community can.
And those parts, I sit on 8 acres of cow pasture. Those parts I think we should keep rural as long as that's feasible. So maybe that can stay, but it isn't really fitting the way it did years ago when it was originally put in.
That makes sense to modify it to some rural character for now.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that the section? I don't have the paper.
Oh, sorry.
That was talking about the larger lots, too.
Yeah, that's in the next paragraph down on page 12. Well, two paragraphs down. Residential development can occur either as an infill or new subdivisions because of the desire to maintain existing large lots.
Yeah, because back years ago, when I first started, we have really small lots. I think it's almost R110. And somewhere in the middle of that, we jumped up to the 14th because that was the big push, right? So with the bigger lots coming in, get a better product and cleaner yards. So large lots now aren't sustainable. Developers aren't going to develop anything because they don't pencil out. So I kind of think, and the generation now really want the R16, the R36 areas with minimal lot size to maintain. You know, they're using them more just for a crash pad and then they head out. So I don't know that the large lots are sustainable anymore. But I don't know what the stance is.
So that's on page 12. Do you see
okay.
where
sure.
I've written economically feasible with a question mark? I'm not sure we get to keep. I think we should have as many as we can economically support, but I'm afraid those days are gone.
Does it need to be even included? I mean, kind of market drives the size of lots, what people can afford. Do we need to specify?
Perhaps the master plan ought not push us towards large lots. Maybe that should just be deleted.
I'd almost say take that sentence out. Even
sure.
reading it, starting with the top side, if it makes sense.
Okay. All right. On the first complete paragraph on page 12, you can see I recommend to drop the land to be acquired unless the city has plans to purchase land for recreational facilities. Do you know of that?
I don't think so. I think whatever recreational properties we get are going to be required from the
development. Right, so acquired. That's why I dropped that.
Wasn't there talk, Patty, about the developer donating or us purchasing right along that edge of Topside and connecting the trails?
It is on the master trails plan, so so it has to be a consideration. And I guess that I'm not sure if we have that in the development agreement.
Yeah.
Jerry, I believe so.
Yeah, you want to protect that.
Yeah. So the goal would be that all development topside and down here, that anything of consequence and size would include trails, not just open space, but trails. And I'm sure Brad has a lot of good examples. I think this study is sitting out in Washington can implement that.
And so that would not require purchase by the city, but it would be part of the development agreement at that.
Okay.
All right, and then the other question I have there is, do you want to mention that local commercial services will increase as more people live in the general area? Do you want that to be part of this discussion at all?
Maybe it doesn't. We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Okay. I didn't know if you wanted to mention that at all. The second full paragraph, we've already talked about the large lots. Anything else on that? At the bottom of that paragraph of wording, maybe in lieu of to accommodate the preservation of the view sheds, development will not be allowed in sensitive or hazardous areas, and view sheds will be preserved.
I like that wording a lot more.
I do too.
There's no question what we're pushing for.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on that? You can see the top side, this next paragraph, is the discussion on the top side. Anything that you'd like from what Brad talked about or anything that you would like to be included in this section, of course, it's going to be at a very broad level or very high level. Anything beyond what is stated there?
Maybe just a general question. Midway through that paragraph, it says development should not occur north of Highway 9. The Verkin city limits actually go north of any of the houses in Tocqueville, but it's up that really rugged canyon. I'm not sure that will ever be developable, but when this topside happens, maybe it might. That's BLM.
That's all BLM.
It would be hard pressed to get designated as.
Isn't there a small portion north that's Sitla? I want to say there's just a small portion right here on this 31 acres.
That one portion of Highway 9 on the east part, where there's
northeast
portion
side.
Of that 31 acres that do sit in there.
So maybe that's fine for now, but. BLM doesn't like to be next to density, and they're prone to try to unload that. And that piece of property is as big as, that piece of Laverkin is as big as the rest of Laverkin. It's just very rugged and may never be amenable to development, but it is a whole bunch of property.
Yeah. And I think as you go forward too, if it were to become something that the BLM was looking to dispose of land in that area, then that's something that could be added to the general plan too.
Okay.
Because it's not just a static document. Okay, anything else in that section? Okay, page 13. Can see I cut down on annexations. I probably could even cut down more, but we're just eliminating.
We just don't have a whole lot.
There's not really a lot that's available.
I mean, really, the only thing would be the fight over Pot Tempe, right?
tried to bring it in. We fought, and every time they tried to bring it in, we fought them. So it stayed in the county. Even though the county preferred not to have it at all. So.
I can leave this discussion in here, and I'll look at it again based on, I hadn't put that map together prior, and I put that together today to see about it, and see if there's anything more that could be carved out or clarified in there.
Because I think that piece we would want to keep the potential to annex if we could.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The goals and policies on page 12, or 14. You see there's just a few things that I was recommending. Just one actually on that page. Changes, is that any other thing you see, or is that an acceptable recommendation? Or?
I like those goals.
Okay. Yeah, they're good goals. So. Page 15, any of those that you have the one thing that I did have as a suggestion, it's not completely necessarily anything you need to do, was under goal 4 of preserve natural resource assets is integrating possible city facilities such as trailheads adjacent to those lands.
I like having that one in there. I feel like that's something we've been doing over the past few years, and I think it's something we need to keep in our goals and
put it in as 4.
Yep.
Okay. And then under the potential action steps, and Derek might know this better, under number 2, create a more streamlined zone ordinance and map that is customized to Laverkan. Is this something that needs to be kept in there, or is that something that they provide?
We actually, as far as our zoning map, we actually brought one up that we've got on our website that you can go on, shows the zoning, you can click on the property, and it'll take you right to the code. So I think as far as that.
And the zoning ordinance is up to what you like it. So
well,
we're working on
there's already changes, right? But yeah. As far as streamlining things.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're doing quite well in that area. Not saying that there's still not going to be improved.
Do you want to leave goal or action step number 2 in there? Or is it something that.
I think it just should be a continued.
I was going to say you can never have it.
Okay.
You know, what that was the word, continue to improve and,
okay.
And progress. There's a better word for it, but that's kind of what I'm thinking.
And then under number 4 there, I just said, rather than just specifying 2 programs, there's others that can also, so I just made it a broader statement. Okay. Page 16, community development. This is where you get into design and beautification and that sort of thing. You can see under the first paragraph, there's just some clarifications in there. Any comments on those? Anything you'd rather do? Under community survey and beautification, we did not do that as part of our initial effort with the general plan update. Is that something? So basically, I'm just recommending that be taken out because I don't have, it's old information for one thing, but it's something that if you felt like we needed to do that, that's something that we could do. Particular survey to talk about that. Or we can just use the section as it's developed.
I'm okay with losing it.
And then some of the stuff, a lot of Yeah. Okay to you? Okay.
Spouted a little bit of philosophy there.
Under nuisance, anything under that, I run it from just a house to property, because often it's the property, not just the building, that's creates the nuisance. So. Anything under that section? Natural beauty, this is talking about the landscape surrounding Liberkin. Just made a couple of recommendations in there. Okay, anything on that?
No.
Page 18, you have a historic preservation council. How active they are, but it's
James Google, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is.
Okay. And you know he's been working on it.
So that stuff was left in there. And then under the goals and policies, there was just some clarification I'm recommending in there. Any comments on those? Anything that caused you to think you would like to add or take out?
I'm happy with that.
Okay. Page 19. Potential action steps. And there's a number of these that I'm just asking if these are still needed if they're in there. Develop design guidelines for the main transportation corridor. You have a study done recently. Is that still need to be left in there?
I think that's still been worked on.
Well, we have two studies. So the corridor study, right, with the, we did in cooperation with UDOT, and then there was another one that we did, but I'm not sure where we're at with it.
The Zion National Scenic Byway Corridor Management Plan went through the state legislature. It was approved to go to the committee to be signed by the governor. And so that is in place. So it's something that, as a city, we definitely want to be aware of. It's guiding principle is what it is. It's not mandates or anything, but guiding principle. So that could have a very positive impact on how the Liberkin portion of the corridor looks.
So maybe keep that in with maybe the wording of continue.
Yeah. And do you want to reference that, or do you want me to keep a copy of that, or?
No, that's
good.
Under number two, there's a goal to define the view shed for protection. Is that something that seems like a pretty specific goal for a broad landscape?
I think our zones pretty much do that, don't they, Derek?
Yeah.
And we've started to define them even more heavily now to help with view shed.
Right, the design is helping to provide, protect that.
Yeah.
And this is saying, define what you think is a view shed. And I don't know if you want to go there.
I don't honestly think we can.
I don't know how you would.
Then number three, the consider infill development tools. The main property is easy and affordable to develop by reducing and reductions in requirements like parking setbacks. So this, I know you've been modifying your zoning ordinance. Is this something that still you would like as a possible action? Or is this something you've just been working on, you're continuing to work on?
I still think we continue.
Okay.
That process, right? I mean, because we're, our ordinance is old and deficient.
Under number four, about updating and enforcing the nuisance ordinance, this
that's got to be a constant. I think we've only done it once or twice in the 26 years I've been here, so things change, dynamics change. Like, you know, involve the property, whereas, you know, sometimes you might not look at it that way, or the house, or...
Okay. Number five, City Council could identify some historic areas and buildings. You do have the Historic Council, the Preservation Council. Is that something the City Council would like to have a recommendation from them to act on, rather than City Council just identify?
That makes more sense to me, but I'm not them.
What would you like to recommend to them?
It should be with the Preservation Committee, I think.
Okay. All right. And then Strengthen Sense of Place, through Public Art, Gateway Development, Wayfinding, and Street Investments, Street Safe Investments. That's the first one that came up in any of the discussion, was the sense of place and the public art. Do we need to put some discussion previously in the chapter about that? Is that something that we do want to keep in here? Is that something that the city's been working towards?
At the intersection of SR 9 and 500, we got a grant some years ago and put a little monument there. This maybe serves that. I'm not sure if we... I don't feel a need for more of that, but... it's
like
not offending me in there.
What hurricanes have done, like with their trees and their... Is that like the landscape?
All that sort of stuff.
I think there's benefit in having the different opportunities for art and streetscape. I don't know if I'd say Hurricane's the one to lean to for great advice on that right now, but I do think there's benefits to it. I think we need to have something in there that helps us with the landscape, the streetscapes, and art.
Okay. Maybe tie that into, could you have design guidelines that you're working on? Maybe tie that into discussion with that.
Well, I'm just wondering, what's the definition of streetscape? Is it landscaping? What is it?
The streetscape includes the buildings adjacent.
It can be a lot of things. Like
the street itself includes mediums, includes trees.
It could kind of be like the corridor study style, you know, as they talked about different ways to do parking along the streets. So
something we can talk about when we're doing our parking ordinance, plus all of our landscaping should tie back into the ordinance that we approved through the conservancy district, as far as trees, amount of trees, types of bushes to be compliant with vegetation boards down in here. So that might be something we want to tie back into that.
All right, well, I'll take a stab at just adding the discussion paragraph, since this is something that you want to work towards within the body of that chapter. And some of it sounds like some of them might go better with the transportation, but also that's the okay. Economic development. This is our last section of the discussion tonight. Page 20, which is actually, it helps drive things in every community. So, there was a correction in that first 200 introductory paragraphs, just adding the hyphen in there. So, under the current conditions, there was it refers to a study done in 2012, listing 365 companies within the work. I just did a web search and there's a about 100 is what AI can claim. So is this discussion helpful, you know, as you look at this paragraph that kind of is very specific about the three industries that are the most established, or is it better to have discussion about just the idea of economic development rather than focusing in on any key areas?
We're up quite a few hotels since this was written.
Yeah.
So would it be better to be not so specific and maybe just more general?
I think so.
I would say so, because if not, you're going to have to update it every year with the growth that's coming.
Okay. The community survey that was done in 2018, it wasn't that long ago. Is that information helpful to you?
It's probably not that relevant any longer.
Okay. And then there was, I just changed the wording for areas of potential. I included that in the 2018 general plan rather than the general plan. And it just talked about State Street and Fifth North as primary for economic development, with some of the suggestions that were given. Grocery store, restaurant, regional farmers market. Are these the kind of things the city's still trying to attract? Do you want to be more general in that discussion?
Perhaps
open more to other.
We should be more general.
General, yeah.
Last sentence there was confusing to me, but I don't know if it's helpful to you or not. These opportunities can increase and support the tax base and working. That's not what it is. Okay, industries that currently have a large impact could be the focus in the city because of regional economic already supports them. Is that helpful?
No.
I didn't want to drop something out of it, but that's something. Okay, page 22. There's the top paragraph. There's discussion about short-term rentals and its economic impact. I think that that's discussed elsewhere in the plan. I don't know if it needs to be discussed here. It definitely does bring people to the community. Do you want any discussion in there specifically about short-term rentals under economic?
It's become a bit of a hot potato in Limerick.
Okay. So more general discussion just about things that can help with economic development. Okay. And then the survey that's in there. This was done in 2018. You can see where people wanted things, where they felt like things were more appropriate. But it's 8 years old. Do you want that sort of information in here?
I'm okay with losing that also.
Okay. Now, under the goals and policies, recognize it. The economic opportunity areas identified by the community, which is those three areas above that were listed above. If we don't really need those, just do we want to spell out priority areas other than along State Street and Fifth North? That's your focus, right? For commercial and economic.
And the potential for top side.
Right, okay. Does the city, Derek, you would probably know this, does the city provide incentives for businesses? to provide input, designate a council member who is responsible for business recruitment, relationship or regulation that fits the local economy. You know, does the city council have someone that just spearheads that? Or
Kyle's been doing a lot of that. But maybe now it might be either, it could be and or the city administrator or city council member, right, just in case. I think Kyle was pretty influential on that. Hot Springs and some other.
Okay.
So.
This is the number two. This is zone the intersection for commercial development.
That's done.
It's done, or you don't proactively do that. You know, so that still needs to be in there. You know, Kyle, do you?
Intersection of North and 500.
Does the city proactively change zoning, or does it just wait for it?
Not that we change it, but I think we amend to add other allowances within the existing zoning. Like the RV resort that's there now was not allowed use, but they came in, we amended it, went through a process. So as far as like changing a whole different zone, these have pretty much been in place for quite a long time, but we do amend as we see fit. And that's going to be part of our big discussion topic.
Yeah, we've discussed that as a mixed use.
Yeah.
So.
Work towards becoming a governor, we received the governor's award as being a business friendly community. Is that something that's still working towards or would like to lead in there? It is spearheaded the statewide by the Salt Lake Chamber.
I know nothing about that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it at all. The order there.
I heard that name about that.
Okay. Well, that'll be a question to carry forward. The business license and development process, making it get rid of inefficiencies, is that something that has been done already? Feel like it needs to be done.
That's a good question. About the only thing we've done for a business license, it kind of gets really bogged down because the fire department gets a lot of input and their lack of ability to go out and inspect in a timely manner.
Okay.
It's kind of bogged it down. Fees are always a thing, charging enough or too much. Because I think through our process, the only one that really did bother would be the police if there's something in there people need to search out. Other than that, we're pretty good at getting through.
Okay. The last one is identify inventory and assemble underutilized parcels for redevelopment. You don't have redevelopment agency, do you? Is that something that the city has an appetite to work for? that's getting into, you know.
I think we dropped that out.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think that was great. Okay. Thank you. I'll be cleaning things up, and we have a few more sections, and we'll be done.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Phenomenal
stuff.
That would take us to the.
I'm going to move to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
You didn't even give me time to talk.
I couldn't find the. I don't know.